Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we'd like to hear from you on today's Basic Gospel program. If you're struggling with Bible questions or life issues, give us a call now at 844-322-2742. If you're hearing the live program, you can speak directly with us right now. Overnight, just call that same number, 844-322-2742, and leave a voicemail with your question or your issue, and we'll discuss it on the Basic Gospel program. Call now, 844-322-2742, because this is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Bob, let me ask you this question. If you were the one kind of penning the Word of God, putting it together, how would you end it? What note would you end on as far as the very last words that you would want to impart to somebody out there?
The grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
That's exactly right. That's how the Bible ends. Here's the verse, Revelation 22:21. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. And that's our subject this month, the grace of the Lord Jesus. And you cannot separate grace from Christ. As we talked about yesterday in John chapter 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory as the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the grace of God is really Jesus Christ.
Indeed.
It's a person, isn't it?
Yes.
It's not just a doctrine. It's not just one doctrine in a list of many. It is Jesus. It's who he is. It's what he's accomplished for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. So the Word of God starts with this: in the beginning, God. And at the very end is the grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. That's the story.
Yes.
That is the story. Everything comes from God. He spoke this world into existence. That was an act of grace. That was his choosing to bring him pleasure, to see a creation that would reflect his glory, that would share in his glory, that would experience his love in all that he is,
yeah,
in day-to-day life. And then sin interrupted that. And so he had a plan from before he even spoke the world into existence. That plan was Jesus Christ and is Jesus Christ. He is the grace of God. And so in the beginning, God, at the end, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen.
Amen.
That tells the story.
I'm glad I knew the answer to that.
You did. You knew it. You knew it. And that brings me to one of my favorite quotes concerning the grace of God from D. Martin Lloyd Jones, a great theologian. He had this to say about the grace of God: it is grace at the beginning, grace at the end. That tells the story, doesn't it? Sometimes we just think it's grace at the beginning and then something else to carry us to the end, but that's not true. It's grace at the beginning, grace at the end. So that when you and I come to lie upon our deathbeds, the one thing that should comfort and help and strengthen us there is the thing that helped us in the beginning. Not what we have been, not what we have done, but the grace of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. The Christian life starts with grace. It must continue with grace. It ends with grace. Grace, wondrous grace. And he ends this quote by sharing a passage out of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. It says, "By the grace of God, I am what I am. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." So D. Martin Lloyd-Jones really captures the essence of the significance of the grace of God for our lives. It's the grace that saves us. It's the grace that sustains us. It's the grace that will be with us forever. Why? Because it is connected to Jesus Christ. So remember that last verse of the Bible. Star it. Underline it, memorize it, and you will have the story of God's reaching out to you in grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all, and you will know his great desire for you. This is the desire of God for you, that you experience the grace of God that saves, the grace of God that sustains, the grace of God that will help, comfort, and strengthen you at the very last hour.
Indeed. That's good news, Bob.
It is good news.
Thank you for sharing those thoughts. And friends, I'm glad that you're here to share in this today at Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us. Again, we want to remind you of the phone number, 844-322-2742. That number's good in the U.S. and Canada. We'd love to hear from you on today's edition of Basic Gospel. And, Bob, of course, yesterday you posed the question for our listeners, what does grace mean in your life, or words to that effect? And we had quite a number that contacted us to give us that testimony of what it had meant in their lives. And we'll get to another one here in just a few moments, but I guess we could probably pose that question again today.
Absolutely, anyone. Absolutely. Yeah. And here's the question, if I can, there it is. How do you define the grace of God?
Yeah.
So what is your definition? You know, many will say God's expenses or God's riches at Christ's expense,
yeah.
God's unmerited favor. Those are certainly commonly held beliefs as far as the grace of God is concerned. But I think it's a lot bigger than that.
Indeed.
It's at least those things, but it's so much more. So how would you define the grace of God? So that's the first question. And then the second question is this: in what ways is the grace of God shaping your day-to-day life, your everyday experience? So we want to bring it out of the realm of doctrine, out of the realm of theology,
right,
into the realm of everyday life. So
yeah,
how do you define the grace of God? In what ways is the grace of God shaping your day-to-day life?
We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel, and we'd love for you to share your story with us at 844-322-2742. Those of you viewing on Facebook and YouTube, of course, you can post your question in the chat box there, and Bob will see it and be able to respond to it. So we hope to hear from you whichever way that you are going to contact us today to let us know what the grace of God has meant in your life, how it's impacted your life. And Bob, of course, to the many who stepped up to help us meet our goal in April, we want to extend our genuine thanks. You know, it was you that make it possible to broadcast and stream the good news of God's love and grace and life in the Lord Jesus Christ. So to all of those of you, thank you so much for your support of this message that you hear every day. Now, friends, if you haven't begun to support this message, and if what you hear on Basic Gospel is making a difference in your life, well, we invite you to join us now. Just click donate at basicgospel.net and be a part of the blessing of helping new listeners hear the good news of Jesus Christ, the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Others need to hear just as you have, so your gift will help to make that possible. Again, click donate at basicgospel.net and partner with us, friends. We would love for you to do that. Again, 844-322-2742. That's the number to dial right now. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Bob, we had this question that came in off hours. Let's listen.
Hey, I was calling about the definition of the word grace. My definition for that, for Bob, is that Orlando is alive. I'm alive in Christ. Grace. And then the second part was, I think it was, what do I do with grace? So what I do with my grace now that I'm alive in Christ is that I do what somebody did for me. Is that to minister to me in the streets and help me get myself back together, to get myself saved, get back in the church. And that's my answer for grace. It's because I'm alive. It's who God made me. You guys have a wonderful day. I'm Orlando. I'm from Tracy, California. Thank you,
bud. Orlando from Tracy, California.
Yeah, Orlando, thank you so much for calling. And I love your definition. It's simple, it's clear, and it really is biblical, because when you look at Paul's letter to the Ephesians, I think that's a letter that's all about the grace of God. And we see some specific verses that relate to this in chapter 2, verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, grace originates in God. It's His.
Yeah.
It's Him. It's Jesus. So, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So what does it mean to be saved? Well, it simply means this, that you who were dead in trespasses and sins have now been made alive together with Christ. So God's work in Jesus to take you from death into life. That's what being saved by grace is all about. And Orlando really struck that note well in his definition. And I love that he is sharing that. He is passing it along. I mean, when you understand the grace of God and understand what grace has done for you, I mean, being dead in trespasses and sins, is a horrible condition, and it's a condition that we cannot work ourselves out of. There is no way that we can go from death to life through our own strength, through our own human effort, through obedience to the law. If that's going to happen, then somebody who has life is going to have to give it to us. That's God's act of grace in Jesus Christ. When you understand that and you realize that there are other people out there who are still dead in trespasses and sins, you want to do everything that you can to share the good news that by grace you too can cross over from death to life and be made alive together with Jesus Christ. Yeah. So, as you said, Bob, many people have responded to the Facebook post and the tweet that I did on Twitter. Let me just share a couple of responses. Matthew wrote this: "What is grace? Knowing that Jesus loves me unconditionally and declares me forgiven, righteous, blessed without any works of mine." And that's a key phrase, yes. Without any works of mine. Right. This is a free gift. It's not something that we earn. It's not something that we can work for. It's not something we certainly could ever merit because we can't do it 100% of the time. So God had to reach down to us in Jesus Christ, and he has declared us forgiven, righteous. He has blessed us. He loves us unconditionally apart from anything that we do. And then J.D. wrote this: "God's unconditional love towards me with no strings attached." And here's how the grace of God is shaping his life. It is helping him to understand how much he is loved. It solidified his identity and his in the finished work of Christ. He's shedding habits that are not beneficial to him. He's learning how to deal with difficult and manipulating people differently than what he did in the past, and learning to make decisions based on how much he is loved instead of a benefits consequences mindset.
Wow,
so here's somebody that is recognizing that the grace of God brings about a total transformation inside and out.
Yes.
So that is the power of the grace of God. So thank you, Matthew. Thank you, JD, for posting this on Facebook. Orlando, thank you for your call. If anybody else out there would like to chime in, how do you define the grace of God? How is the grace of God shaping your life? Go ahead and call right now, 844-322-2742. In the meantime, we're going to go to Monticello, New York, and talk to Frida. Hi, Frida.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm a first-time caller, but I just want to say, you know, I really appreciate, you know, people like you who do these radio programs, because a person like me has a lot of questions. So my question for today is, as a believer, I know that Christ lives in us and that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but is the Holy Spirit and Christ living in us separate entities? Does each guide us in different ways, as each one has their own department? For example, 1 John 2 says that Jesus is our advocate, and in John 14, it says the Holy Spirit is our comforter slash counselor. Can we ever say that the Holy Spirit advocates for us, or Jesus counsels us, or do they have distinct job descriptions according to their personalities? Does that make sense?
Well, it sure does, Frieda, and that's an excellent question. And I think we have to come to see that when Paul talks about Christ in you, your only hope of glory, he would be speaking of the Spirit in you as your only hope of glory, and God the Father in you as your only hope of glory. So you have the fullness of the Godhead living inside of you. John talks about, you know, if you love your brother, it means that God abides in you, that you've been born again, that you know God. So John gives us a story of God the Father coming to dwell in us. Paul talks about Christ dwelling in us. And certainly they all talk about the Holy Spirit coming to indwell us. And so we have the fullness of the Godhead living inside of us. Now, that's wonderful. Now, Isaiah and his prophecy concerning Jesus. He talks about Jesus as the wonderful counselor or comforter. And so we see that that role of being our counselor, our comforter, is being kind of carried out by the Spirit. He's the one that comforts us. But it's all God, isn't it? And I think that's what we have to come to grips with. It's that God is doing the comforting, and God is a single entity made up of three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so they're all involved. But here's what we do know about the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is never going to bring glory to himself. The Spirit of God is always going to take the things of the Lord Jesus and make them known to us, make them real for us in our own lives. So the Spirit is always going to be pointing us to Jesus and what Jesus has accomplished for us, and who Jesus is both our Savior and our great Lord and God. So we know the Holy Spirit is going to be pointing us to Jesus Christ, the truth that is contained within Jesus Christ, and the grace that he has imparted to us in giving to us his very life. Does that make sense, Frieda?
I would probably have to, like, rewatch your answer so I can actually listen to it and, like, break it down, because I can't really comprehend a lot of it. But if I rewatched it, then I can, like, stop and pause it and then understand what you're saying. So basically, is they don't try to outshine one another. Like, they have their own, like, positions that they have in us, but we're just fully indwelt by the Godhead. So am I trying to separate them inside of me?
Yeah, and I don't think we need to try to separate them, because it's one God. They're going to have, you know, Jesus Christ was the one that inhabited a body. Jesus Christ is the one that died. He is the Son. God the Father is giving testimony, you know, and it has been giving testimony about his Son from the very beginning of time. And the Spirit is bringing that testimony concerning the Son to our hearts, and making that relationship with Jesus Christ a reality for us. So we see in the Word of God that the Spirit, he's the one that regenerates us. It's not the physical Jesus that comes to live inside of us. He is at the right hand of God the Father in the heavenlies, but he has sent his Spirit to take up residence. But we know that God is one. So we have the fullness of the Godhead inside of us. The Spirit is always going to point us to Jesus. God the Father is continually giving a testimony concerning his Son. So all praise and glory goes to Jesus.
Okay, so now I think I'm kind of understanding it, because I was looking at Jesus as still being in a human form who is living in us, but it's the Spirit of Christ living in us.
That's correct. That's exactly right. And Paul talks about that in Romans 8:11. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ living in them, they do not belong to Christ.
Okay, that helps me a lot. Thank you.
You are so welcome. You call anytime, Frieda. Great to have you. Let me put you on hold. I'll send you some resources just to say thank you for being a first-time caller, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You hang on.
Thanks, Frieda. Good to hear from you.
Yes, indeed.
You know, friends, we have a new thank you gift for our donor friends this month. It's called Grace Defined, Grace Lived Out. Now, through this new resource, you'll clearly see that God designed the law to show us our sin. It's like an x-ray. It can show you that you have a problem, but it has no power at all to fix it. The law, by contrast, shows us our sinfulness, but only Jesus can save us from it. Now, this new 2-CD message can help you settle the purpose of the law in your own life and to see grace as God's gift that empowers and teaches you to experience joy and peace and purpose in the here and now. Again, it's called Grace Defined, Grace Lived Out. It's by Bob Christopher, and we want you to have a copy as you make your supporting gift for Basic Gospel this month. So please click donate at basicgospel.net, and when you do, be sure to request your copy of Grace Defined, Grace Lived Out. Well, once again, we have just a little bit of time left. If you'd like to share a quick testimony with us about how the grace of God has impacted your life and what it means to you, give us a call, 844-322-2742. And Bob, in the meantime, a very heartfelt question from out west. Let's listen.
60 million to 70 million babies were murdered since the murder law was made legal. Here's the question. Back in the olden days, idol gods were heated up to glowing and babies were placed in their outstretched arms. There were screams. Moloch had his buddies and they sacrificed a bunch. What was the people and the false gods' punishment? There was a time when all the good people and bad people suffered together, one and all. What is the ratio of babies that were murdered long ago compared to America's evil that must be paid back? How much is a murdered child worth? They were innocent. They didn't know good or bad. What, 10 adults that are filled with sin of all kinds? How much is a pure gift of God worth? This is Webb from Bend, Oregon. Thank you, and thank you for sending those newsletters to me. Goodbye.
Well, Webb, thanks. Thanks for calling, and certainly you've put your finger on one of the most evil things that has ever happened, the legalizing of abortion here in America. But as you mentioned, that's been a long held practice as far as humankind is concerned. And there was a couple of things that I just want to say in regards to this. Is that sin? Absolutely. Is it detestable? Absolutely. But here's the problem. Why does this happen out there in the world? Well, John gives a very clear answer in his first letter. And this is something that I think we really need to pay attention to think about, to dive into, and really ask some questions. So in 1 John chapter 4, he says this, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Now, why do we see the atrocities? Why have we seen the atrocities going on out there in the world? Well, I think this is the answer. I think this is what is at the root of all the problems that we see. We live in a world that does not know God. It has some information about God, but it's a distortion. It's not the truth. They don't know the truth about God. And the only way that we can ever know the truth about God is to see the knowledge of God, to see the truth about God in the face of Jesus Christ. So that's what we need to be getting out there into the world today, this message concerning Jesus. Why? When people get the truth about God, their lives change. Their perspective, their worldview, everything about them changes. Yes. And that's going to be the ultimate solution to the problems of this world. We can try to legislate. We can try to do all of those things. But as we've seen throughout human history, those have curbed evil habits here and there. But none of those laws have ever done away with those practices.
Never, never.
So we need to attack the heart, the human heart, with the good news of Jesus Christ so that people can have the true knowledge of God.
I think this was a wonderful program, you know, because we hear from our listeners, it just adds an excitement to it. I think you agree with that, Bob. So listeners, keep calling. We love hearing from you. Want to remind you also that we have this great new resource we'd like to send you. It's our way of saying thanks for your gift in the month of May. It's called Grace Defined, Grace Lived Out. We'll send you a copy as you make your gift, so be sure to request yours when you donate at basicgospel.net. Again, that website, basicgospel.net. Just click donate, and we'd love for you to partner with us. Well, that's it for this edition, everybody. Thanks for being with us. For Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.